In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The ones who would be the first to say Christ is risen were the women, the myrrh-bearers, who rose early in the morning and went to the tomb. When we rise early, before dawn, as a matter of fact, I did myself this morning. Sharon's not here because she's at work. She was kind enough to work for someone else so that they could go and be with a gathering of their family. And when she works on Sunday, she gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And when Sharon gets up, I get up. Women often are those who rise first. Long before the days of convenience, where all we have to do is turn on the gas stove or the electric stove and immediately we have heat, they were the ones who arose and prepared the food for the beginning of the day. They were the ones who were in charge of the household and all of the tasks that need to be done every day, whether you feel like doing them or not. They are the ones who are faithful in that way. And so they did on this morning that we heard of today. They arose early in the morning and they set out with gifts, spices. And we remember the three wise men who brought spices and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus when he was first born. Now these women are going to a different cave, where again Jesus is swaddled in swaddling clothes as he was when he was born. And those swaddling clothes that surround him now are the swaddling clothes of a new kind of birth, the birth of our own life in him. But they don't know that. For them, according to their understanding, Jesus, the Christ, is dead. And yet they arise to do the things that need to be done, even if it seems impossible, because they know that that great stone is there in front of the tomb. And still they rise and do what needs to be done. And they go with a kind of faith that is not very well understood, because it's not a matter of understanding. It's a matter of doing. In their time, amongst the Jews, the idea of a life after death, which has become so elaborate and specific in its description during the thousands of years since their time, as a result of the adoption of Christianity in the West, where the specifics are always highly prized. Unlike that idea of life after death and resurrection, in their time, very few Jews really believed in a life after death, as Christians would in later centuries as a result of the resurrection of Christ. And after all, the one who had raised Lazarus was dead, crucified, buried in a tomb with that huge stone. What could there have been in their minds of the kind of faith and hope that we understand today? And yet there was faith. Faith that means you get up and you act. Faith that is a virtue of the heart that can't be separated from what that faith is in. Their faith was not in some idea of a life after death or some idea of a resurrection. Their faith was in Christ himself, Jesus, whom they had known. Even the fact that he had been killed and laid in a tomb was not sufficient to cut them off from him. They rose and they faithfully went to his tomb. And they didn't go empty-handed. Whenever we move toward God, we take something with us. Even if it's only our brokenheartedness, even if it's only the sense of loss, the sense of darkness and despair in ourselves, that itself shows that nothing other than God Himself will satisfy us. When we've pinned our hopes on ourselves and the things of the world, and those hopes have been dashed, that despair itself is a witness to the fact that ultimately our love of all of the good things that could be are a temporarily held down hope in that which we have not yet placed our faith. All of our love of all of the good is a love of God. We may not know that. We may not understand it. And when our misplaced love in the things of the world is disappointed, and we fall into despair, the despair itself witnesses to the fact that there is something that we have not had. The myrrh-bearing women, the two Marys and Salome, knew Christ. They loved Him. They had called Him their Lord. They had called Him God. In their minds, they didn't understand all of the things that had happened, but they remained faithful and they rose and they moved toward Him. That is the nature of faith. The substance of things that have not been seen, things that are hoped for, not by the mind, but by the heart. We were created in the image and likeness of God, and only God can satisfy and fulfill us. And if we love Him as they loved the Lord, that kind of faith doesn't stop getting up and moving toward God, just because everything is stacked against even the possibility of their being able to fulfill the task that they rose early in the morning to do. How will we move the stone? But they asked that question on the way. They didn't ask that question at home and then decide, what can we do? There's no sense in going. They got up and they went. And because they got up and they went and they brought with them the gifts that they had, thinking to anoint the body of the Lord, they found that the stone had been removed for them. And that's how it is in our own lives. Even if we're in the midst of dark despair in our mind, if we love God and get up and move toward Him, God will roll away the stones of the difficulties that our emotions and our mind have set before us. Faith is a virtue, and virtues are things that we do. That's the secret. Faith is something that we do. It's active. If our faith is in Christ, then we will do things because of our faith in Christ. Our belief is in Him, and not anything that the mind or the emotions can put in the way should prevent us from moving toward Him in spite of everything. That is the nature of faith. When the myrrh-bearing women had discovered that He was arisen, they were told to go and to tell Peter and the apostles. They went, and at first they were afraid and told no one, because how could anyone believe them? And when they did tell the apostles, they were not believed. The first announcement, Christ is risen, was not believed. Here in the glow of Pascha, so short a time ago, we completed our fast and celebrated the Feast of Feasts with the joy that is beyond our understanding, and still we are in the continuing glow of that event. And at the same time, somewhere in us, that light is beginning to fade. Have we really received the message? Christ is risen. Do we live our lives by living the life that has been given to us by the resurrection of Christ? Or are we afraid? We have been called to tell others that Christ is risen, that we have a life that has been given to us, that we can only live by getting up and going and doing the things that need to be done, moving toward the risen Lord, actually living that life, regardless of what our mind tells us, regardless of what our feelings tell us. We get up early in the morning and we sing during this special time, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. In each of our morning prayers, we say that early in the morning, because it is in that faith in Christ that all of our hope has arisen. That is the life that we are called to live. And when we get up in the morning, what if our feelings tell us something else? I don't feel like believing today. And the end will be a day of despair. Even that despair, we're saying, calls us back to hope and faith in the one that fulfills all of the things in the world that he created. There is no real alternative. It is him or darkness. So in the morning, as Father Lev Gelee once said, it is good for us to think on death, the death of Christ and his resurrected life, and the fact that every despair is a death that we can rise out of and move toward God out of. Every morning, we need to remind ourselves that the life that we are about to continue to live is an eternal life through all of that day, and nothing can overcome the divine and eternal life that is our life. That is the gift that God has given to us. That is why he did all of the work that he did, up to and including dying on the cross, destroying the power of death. The power of death has been destroyed. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death, trampling down the darkness of the despair that our emotions and our minds will tell us is all that is really there. The faith that is active is in the heart, the center of what we are. And what we are, all of us, and who we are, each one of us, is someone who has been created to live toward God with his own divine life, not by the life of this world, not by the life that we feel despair of within ourselves because we don't have the capacity, but by the life of the one who is the source and creator of all things and all life. Christ is risen.